Let us now turn for our scripture reading and our text to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this psalm is about the gracious care of our Lord for us. In all circumstances and through every stage of life, throughout life and death and beyond into eternity. And of course the familiar imagery that runs through this psalm is that of a shepherd caring for his sheep. And that's a very common biblical image of God's relationship to us. We often hear it in our call to worship, that we are the sheep of his hand. And again, this runs right through scripture until when we get to the book of Revelation, we have this depiction of the presence of God's people before the throne and before the Lamb. And the Lamb is described as one who shepherds his people and who leads them to living fountains of water. That beautiful imagery of eternity yet under the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the revelation, this revelation of our Lord as our shepherd, as the good shepherd, the faithful shepherd, is also enriched, especially when we come to our text. It's enriched by an added picture. The imagery shifts a little bit. And there the Lord is depicted as a generous host who spreads a feast for us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's our text for this morning. We want to focus our attention mostly on the first part of verse 5, where we hear that our Lord feeds us, and he feeds us in safety at his table. And we're going to consider the preparation of that table, the costly preparation. And then secondly, our Lord's personal provision for us. And then finally, his unfailing protection of us. Beginning then by looking at our Lord's costly provision. You prepare a table before me. Now, it's a fact that God is the one who feeds us, literally. In other words, he provides for our daily bread. He literally fills our mouths with good things. And that means that you children, when you see your mom preparing your lunch or your breakfast or supper for you, you're to see her loving care, because that's an expression of her care for you. But even in her loving care, you are to see the loving care of the Lord who provides for you, even through the hands of your mom and the provisions that she and your dad obtain so that you can have food. Ultimately, we know that our daily bread comes from the Lord, and we acknowledge that every day. He is the one who cares for us physically. God fed Israel in the wilderness, in a very dangerous place where they faced enemies. And sometimes they doubted that God could prepare a table for them in the wilderness. That's the doubtful question that's raised in Psalm 98 as it describes this situation. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Well, yes. God struck the rock so that the waters gushed out. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Yes, he rained down manna on them to eat and gave them of the bread of heaven. The Lord says he will abundantly bless your provision. He says that about Israel. I will satisfy your poor with bread. And there are even these special occasions in which God had fellowship with his people at a table. In fact, probably the most amazing depiction of this is in the book of Exodus, which describes Israel's wilderness wanderings when the 70 elders of Israel, along with Aaron and Abihu and Dathan, were invited up the mountain, and they feasted before the Lord. Soon after the sacrifices were offered, it says they ate and drank in his presence. The very presence of God. That was literal food that they ate. But again, it was a picture of something far greater than God's provision merely for our bodies. The fact that God provides for our bodies teaches us to trust in him to meet our greatest need. And the grace and the riches of salvation are so very often described in the Bible as a feast. In Isaiah 55, we hear this invitation to a feast that's available to all, whether they have money or not. To everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, buy and eat wine, milk, and honey without price. And that's a description of salvation. Listen to how God promised salvation in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6, where it says, "And in this mountain," that's a reference to Zion, but it has a figurative meaning. "In this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees." Now, that's a figurative description of the blessings of salvation that will ultimately be fulfilled in the presence of the Lord, because the passage goes on to say that death will be swallowed up by victory, and we know what that refers to. But even the depiction of the eternal state is described as a feast. Also, familiar imagery in the Bible. The wedding feast of the bride and the Lamb of God together. A description of salvation involves eternal deliverance from death. And of course, that provision is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, people starve and they die in their sins. But Jesus is the bread of life who came down from heaven, who gives his flesh for the life of the world. He is the living water, which we may drink and never thirst with that desperate, dying thirst of people without the Lord. Christ is the great provision that God has given us. And think of what preparation involves. You prepare a table before me. You know, there's an account of the work of a shepherd that describes how a shepherd might actually prepare grazing land for his sheep, especially in these high mountainous plateaus that are actually called tablelands or a mesa. Often the shepherd would take a trip up the mountain to just check out that place where he would later bring his sheep. And he conducts a kind of survey, and he looks for water, and he might remove the kind of obstructions, debris that would be a hindrance to the sheep going down to drink of the water. And he might look for vipers' holes in the ground and perhaps burn some hog fat and to bring those poisonous snakes out of their holes so he could club them when they came up. And he might look around for the dens of wolves and lions and maybe pile rocks in front of them. Or if he finds these dangerous animals, to kill them so they can't take away his sheep. He'll look for poisonous weeds and uproot them to prepare this grazing land where the sheep can graze in peace without danger. It takes a lot of preparation. Well, God prepared for our salvation. And he did so from all eternity. He promised the seed of the woman in time. And he sent him in the fullness of time. And he prepared a body for him. He formed him in the womb of the virgin. He formed him to be his servant. Isaiah speaks of the Lord Jesus as one who is made like a polished shaft, like an arrow that God sent to accomplish his purpose. God prepared him and sent him to obey and to suffer and to die and to conquer on behalf of his people, for us. You see a table prepared for you this morning. And because of the circumstances, it took a little extra planning and a little extra effort. But what we may see by faith this morning is the care of our Lord. We may see his suffering and his labor for more than 30 years as he fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf, as he endured God's wrath in our place. And we can see also his calling of his people into his fellowship and his preservation of a church down through the centuries to this day, a church to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, and to do so with feasting, to do so at his table. There we see his gracious provision to feed your souls with himself as your food and drink to eternal life. Costly preparation. And then our text speaks of the Lord's personal provision. You prepare a table before me. In fact, throughout this psalm, there are these personal pronouns. The Lord is my shepherd. It doesn't simply say the Lord is the shepherd of his people. Well, that's true. But we dare to say the Lord is my shepherd. We don't just confess that the Lord is the only comfort of his people in life and in death. But we say he is my only comfort in life and in death. You might say that the difference between a general kind of religious faith and a true saving faith has much to do with the first person singular. That's a grammatical term that simply describes this kind of language. Me, my, I. A Christian is not like someone who is convinced that honey is sweet because he investigated all the properties of honey and listened to the testimony of people who said, yes, honey is very sweet and very delicious. He's not simply someone who observed other people enjoying honey and its sweetness, but a Christian is someone who has tasted and knows for himself that the Lord is good. And that the gospel is rich and true. And that Jesus is a precious Savior. And he is my shepherd. And he prepares a table before me. Very personal language. That's the picture of the text. It's not like someone that's peeking around the corner or looking through the window at into the dining hall of a marriage feast and observes there that people are really enjoying themselves and it looks like they have a lot of good food. No, it's you. It's you at the table. It's you looking at the beautiful silverware and the sparkling glasses and the wine poured out and the smell of one tasty dish after another being brought to you by the very host himself. That's a far better picture of this table before us this morning. He Eat, O friends, drink, yes, drink abundantly. That's the language of the friends of the bride, the bridegroom, summoning them to a feast. All things are now ready is the description of the gospel proclamation. Oh, come and taste of this wonderful supper. I actually just happened in my providential calendar reading to read this morning from the book of Samuel, the story of Mephibosheth. Remember Mephibosheth? He was the son of Jonathan, and during a battle by the Philistines, his maid took him up and was running away and fell and dropped this little boy. And from that time forward, he was crippled. He couldn't walk. And when David was exalted in his glory, he wanted to show kindness to Jonathan. And he inquired, is there anyone from Jonathan's house that still lives? And he was informed of this man, Mephibosheth, who was lame. And David searched him out, and he summoned him to court. And he says, he shall eat bread at my table. And that's repeated like four times. And it's a rather short chapter, but four times it's repeated. He shall eat bread at my table from now on, as with my sons. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the Lord rescuing us from our misery and bringing us into his fellowship and giving us a place at his table all the days of our lives? Now, the Lord's provision has been long accomplished. The work has been long finished. It is finished, said our Lord Jesus Christ before he died on the cross. But this provision is brought near to us. It's brought near to us through the Word, by the Spirit, also through the sacraments. By the Spirit. Christ is clearly portrayed among us. That's how Paul described his preaching to the Galatians, as Christ clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Again, that describes the nearness, the accessibleness, the presence of this feast that God provides for us. It's a table that's spread before us. Christ gives himself to us when he says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink. Yeah, the minister uses those words, but they're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all their value is derived from his presence and his grace and his working among us, his provision. Thirdly, we hear of the Lord's unfailing protection. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And the imagery of sheep with the shepherd applies here too, doesn't it? Sheep may graze peacefully under the eye of a shepherd like David, right? And children remember the story of David and how when a lion came to take one of the flock, that David killed the lion and he delivered the lamb out of his mouth. And when a bear came to take one of the flock, David killed the bear and he delivered the lamb out of his mouth. That's a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord provides a table for us in the wilderness of this world where we face enemies to our souls all around. And even within us. But the Lord's grace is described in Isaiah 33 in this way, in verse 16, where it says of God's people, it says, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. That's a picture of security. It uses the imagery of a fortress, but it's a fortress where people may eat and drink with an all-sufficient supply from God's hand, and they can do it in safety. The Lord describes the misery of the wicked in Ezekiel chapter 12 in verse 19, where speaking to the people of Jerusalem at this time, who had turned away from the Lord and who had worshipped idols and were going to face the terrible consequences of their unbelief. The Lord commanded Ezekiel to say to the people of the land, "Thus says the Lord God to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dread." Well, why? Because of guilt, because of fear, as they face the certainty of God's judgment. The fact is that fear and distress, they kill the appetite and destroy all enjoyment of food. Now that can happen because of the kinds of stresses that we face in life. Even as those who are reconciled to God, but here it's describing the kind of fear and anxiety and distress of those that don't have peace with God. But our security is not then that we have no enemies. We do have enemies that we face. But our security is in our host. It's like the wicked may surround the house like they did in Gibeah, if you know the story. Or like they did in Sodom, if you know the story. But we can just keep eating in peace because we're safe in the presence of our host, despite whatever threat might surround us, whatever enemies. I shall fear no evil, the psalmist also says in this psalm. Our host is the exalted Lord and Christ. We're going to hear references to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verses 23 and following its description of the institution of the Lord's Supper. We call it the Lord's Supper. We don't call it Jesus' Supper because we certainly it is the supper that Jesus instituted and it's Jesus' Supper, but the Bible uses the language to focus our attention upon the Lord. In fact, there are some 7 times that Paul makes reference to Christ in those few verses. 7 times, and every time it's the Lord. The Lord in the night in which he was betrayed. You proclaim the Lord's death until he come. Again and again, Jesus is referred to as the Lord. And that's significant because it reminds us of Christ and his exalted glory. And we lift up our hearts to where Christ is on high. And that is of great comfort to us. Our shepherd who laid down our life, his life for us, also took it again. And his sheep now may move about freely in this world and they can go in and out and find pasture under his care. And they shall never perish. Now that's the language of our good shepherd in John chapter 10. But it's here as well. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life. They shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the language of protection, of assurance. The past 6 months have been a time of anxiety for many. And we have been, and we all are affected by the circumstances, even of this morning. And added to the threat, the physical danger and the attending circumstances with regard to the economy and education and all these things, it seems like evil in this world is also surging. It's like it's keeping pace and overtaking those other problems related to COVID-19. But our text gives us this precious assurance. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The Lord feeds us in safety at His table. In a short time, we're going to read from Psalm 22 and pay attention to the different segments of this psalm. It speaks of the suffering of the Savior, and it speaks of the exaltation of the Savior. And in connection with His exaltation, it proclaims this certainty that the poor shall eat and be satisfied. And that's the assurance of our Lord's provision, that He prepares for us, that we enjoy in His presence that is certain and sure, and it's enjoyed under His protective care. Amen.